as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. Now, wandering's the opposite of abiding. Wandering away from Christ. We don't want to wander away from Christ because wandering causes a curse. We need to abide.
Yeah.
We need to abide in Him. Let me read that verse again. Just John 15:4. Abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. We're talking about fruit bearing. We're not talking about heaven. Except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. See, I need the sap. I need to be hooked up. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do a little bit. No, without me, you can do some things. Get out of bed. No, nothing. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. You know, if I wasn't coming on Wednesday night, I would think about starting on Wednesday night. I'm learning a lot about apostles and prophets. It's been real interesting. I'd be thinking about coming on Wednesday night. And disciples, been learning about disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue. It's like abide, isn't it?
Yeah.
Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you because I'm against you. No. That my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full.
Right.
Now, that's abiding for fruit bearing. Now today we want to look at verse 12 to 17. I'll try to read them here in a minute. And the title is The Family. But it's not just any old family. It's the family of God.
Right.
I've told you down at Pipestem, where I got saved, the choir would march into the song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And they'd march out singing that song. Well, I'll just go ahead. I'm not going to sing it. I'll just go ahead and tell you this morning that I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. It's not any old family we're talking about here. Not a regular old family. It's the family of God is what we're talking about here. Starts in verse 12 and it's talking about the supreme command. Not a suggestion. It's a New Testament command. Still red letters, isn't it? Still red letters. The Lord's talking. He said, this is my commandment. Let's look at it down in verse 25. Verse 25 said, but this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. The religious people were adding laws all the time. What they call it? They called it the Torah, I think it was, the Torah that they added rules to. Look at it again in chapter 8, verse 17. We have so many rules that aren't in the Bible. Chapter 8, verse 17 is also written in your law. It's not what he's talking about now. It's not your law now. He said, this is my commandment.
Right.
This is my commandment. Right. Red letters. The Lord's taking over now. And he said that you love one another. Any questions?
No.
Okay, good. We'll go on. That you love one another as, I have loved you. We're talking about the supreme command right here. Then here's the supreme standard in 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Right.
In 14 is the supreme bond. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you.
Right.
Now, last week or week before, we was talking about this. Here's the obedience. Here's the obedience. See, a couple weeks ago, we was back there on chapter 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. And we tried to explain that holding on to them is not the same thing as obeying. Now, here's obeying. You want obeying in chapter 15. But you can't obey it in chapter 15 if you didn't hold on to it in chapter 14.
Right. Yeah.
And we're talking about up in verse 2, 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. And all the other versions that I've found, versions of the truth I'm talking about. Not the truth. This is the truth.
Yeah.
Man-made versions of the truth. They put rooms in there. I've been in a lot of rooms in my life. As far as I know, I've never been in a mansion. They forgot to tell me if I was in a mansion. And then we talked about down there in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Well, the NIV changes comfortless to orphans. And I've been thinking about that more and more. See, orphans is a noun. Comfortless is an adjective. I mean, they just changed the whole thing. And it's not the same thing. It's not even close to the same thing. I've got a cousin that built up a good, honest business and sold it for like 1 point something million. And they had an article about it in the Charleston Gazette. And she married a stockbroker, and he had, I don't know how many millions. And but they were not selfish. Like, he probably gave me this suit. He's just my size, and he was always giving me stuff, suits mainly. Sometimes they'd have tags on them. They were so unselfish, they flew over there to Russia and went to an orphanage and adopted a little blonde-haired girl, Maggie, and brought her back to America. And she probably thinks she went to heaven. But she's not comfortless. And that wasn't enough. They went down to Guatemala and adopted twins, a little boy and a little girl, Molly and Tate, and they're not they're orphans, but they're not comfortless.
Right.
Brother Gail Brown, he needs comfort today, but he's not an orphan.
Right.
It's not the same thing.
That's right.
It's not just so you learn. If you don't learn nothing else today, learn this, that the man-made ones are not the same.
Amen.
There's something different. But if you don't hold on to it in chapter 14, you won't have nothing to obey in chapter 15.
That is right.
Now in chapter 15, now we're obeying. Now we're doing. 15, 14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you.
Yeah.
Now here's the doing. Here's the obedience. We're still on the family of God. 15 and 16 here is the supreme purpose. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I've made known unto you. I bet it's in this book. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go. Getting down to the supreme purpose here. And bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Verse 17 is the supreme command repeated. It's just like verse 12. I mean, almost like. These things I command you, that you love one another.
Yeah.
Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Well, I found a cross reference. I'm so excited, I couldn't hardly wait to get here. It's the cross reference of all cross references. Let's look at it. It's 1 John. 4. Starts in verse 7. Beloved. Sound like a family of God already, don't we?
Yeah.
Beloved. See, we're included in the beloved. I got in because of him. It's the only way I got in. Beloved, let us love one another. What's that like the supreme command all over again, don't we? For love is of God. See, I didn't know about that before November 16th, 1974. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, was made known, was shown publicly in the center of the world. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us. See, as far as I can see, He did it all for me. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. For mercy's sakes, that's abiding, isn't it? Living in Him. He lives. We live in Him and He lives in us. Live through Him. If we abide through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God. Mercy. But He loved us. It's nothing that I love Him after all He's done for me. He sent His Son. He was buried. He died. He rose again. Sent the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, to move in my heart and give us a Bible, a living Bible. Why wouldn't I love Him? Save me from hell. I'm not going to hell. Herein is love, not that we love God. That's got nothing to do with it. But He loved us.
Yeah, imagine that.
And sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I looked it up. Propitiation is appeased wrath. He appeased God's wrath. Remember, God's angry with the wicked every day.
Right.
Well, the Lord, He sent His Son to die on the cross so He wouldn't be mad at us no more. He's not mad at us no more.
Right.
We can come on in to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another.
Yeah.
Sound like the supreme command again. Beloved, family of God all over again. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. That's abide, isn't it? Wasn't that dwell definition for abide? God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, abide in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, the Savior of me, the Savior of you. Far as I can see, He did it all for me.
Yes, amen.
I get to go in, because of Him.
Right.
Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in Him, abides in Him, and He in God. Yeah, praise God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in God, I'm sorry. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him.
Right.
Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world. Well, how is he? How is he? It doesn't say as he was, so are we in the world. It's as He is.
Right.
Well, how is He right now? How is He getting along? Well, I'll tell you this. On the cross, He had all our sins. He had my sins, your sins, the sins of all the ages. But when He come out of the tomb, He didn't have one of them left on Him.
Right.
He don't have no sin on Him this morning. There's no sin on Him. And if you're in Him this morning, you don't have none on you either.
Right.
You don't have no sin on you. You just well start enjoying it.
Right.
Because as He is, so are we in this world. As He is.
That's good.
There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. And he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment, New Testament commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also.
Right.
The supreme command. Okay, let's go back to John 15 now. Start over in verse 12 here. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now here's the obedience. Let's look up a few verses right here now. 2 Peter 1:1. See, he wasn't wanting it all for himself. He's wanting some friends. He's wanting to spread the wealth. We're bums. We're like bums that found a soup line, and we're just telling everybody where it's at, where the pot of soup is. 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them, guess what? That's us. To them that have obtained like precious faith.
Right.
With us through the righteousness of God, our Savior, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Not John just didn't want everybody in. Jesus didn't just want everybody in. Peter's wanting friends in there too. He's wanting more in the family of God. He's not the only one. Jude 1. Jude wants everybody in. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them. Guess who them is? That's you. That's me. It's the family of God. We're one big, happy family. I hope we're happy. Back to John 15. Well, now don't get too excited about it. John 15:16, the supreme purpose. Henceforth I call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go. I'm going to do 16, I'm supposed to go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Might be twins. Who knows? He can do anything.
Right.
He can do anything. Let's check it out here. I know you know Matthew 28. Go. Go ye. That's going to be Rick, ain't it? Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, that's why we go through basically the whole Bible. Not the whole Bible, not here. But you notice the word teach is in the Great Commission 2 times. And one of our main problems is we like to get them saved, but then we turn them loose. We don't follow up, but we need to, is what it says right there. But mainly go, we need to go, is the command. 2 Peter 3:9. Nothing new, I know you know that. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why we go. That's the why. And he sought them out, not vice versa. He sought them out. And he didn't come to us because we're smart. We didn't get in because we're rich. If you had to have money to get in, I couldn't have got in. He didn't bring us in because we're famous, because we're clever, or because we have influence, social influence, because we're educated. No, no. He only saves sinners. He only saves the ungodly. Is always saved. John 15:17. That's the 17, the supreme command. These things I command you, that you love one another. Not a suggestion, but more like verily, verily. Friends and brothers. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. Well, that's the good news. That's the good news. Verse 18 starts the bad news. I hate to tell you. It's the animosity. The title's the animosity. And it's going to carry over into chapter 16. So just kind of buckle up. It's not going to be that great, maybe. You already had the icing. Now we eat the cake. 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you.
Right.
I don't have any problem if they hate me for the Lord's sake. I'm afraid too many times it's cause of Rick.
Right. But
this is the reality. To live peaceable with all men as far as possible. See, what we got, we're supposed to be living in the age of toleration, and it seems like they tolerate everything but us. They tolerate everything but the truth.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And I was just reminded, you know, of Charlie Kirk. I think it's called a hate crime.
Yeah.
Actually, the crucifixion was a hate crime. Just go ahead and say it was a hate crime. And he tells us they hated me first before they hated you. So don't worry too much about it. It'll be all right. Verse 19. Especially if they hate us for His sake. It'll be okay. Verse 19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. Fellowship between the believer and the world should be dead.
Right.
A church member that attends more parties than prayer meetings will have no persecution.
Right.
The church member that attends more parties than prayer meetings will have no persecution.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about it. Verse 20. Remember. Oh man, this is Brother Rick's problem. I'm confessing my sins now. You know, the word remembers in the Bible more than 250 times. He knew I needed to remember. Oh, I'm so messed up. If you only knew. Remember. But here's, it's pretty easy, this one here. Remember the Word. Oh boy. That's pretty easy. Remember the Word. Just hit it every morning. Just like you had to, you know, like somebody was holding a gun on you or something. Really, after a while, it kind of get addicted, kind of like it. You miss it if you're on vacation or misplaced or forgot it at church, you know. Remember the Word. What about that? Remember the Word that I said unto you. The servant's not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. Remember the Word. I'm so prone to forget. Let's check it out in Psalm 119. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. One of my neighbors there, his boy tells me he's got guns and ammo hid all over the yard. He dug holes everywhere and hid all kinds of stuff. If I told you his name, you know it was true. Hide. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Like hiding ammo or maybe food. Jeffrey Dale used to take chicken legs and stuff like that with him to bed. His mommy found him in bed. And sometimes we hide food around, you know. Well, maybe I ought to hide the Word.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to hide. I know I need to remember it. 1 John 4. 1 John 4. We were just there. 1 John 4, 5, and 6. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Remember. Remember the Word. The received Word melts a cold, hard heart. The rejected Word hardens it to stone. Positive thinking and prosperity gospel promise riches, and they promise it today. They promise happiness and power and health, and they promise it all today. All today. You're going to have they promise success now, today. But you're going to have trouble finding that in the Bible. You have to go to another book like we learned Wednesday night. Okay, John 15:21-22. Why does the world hate? But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Ignorance. Ignorance. They don't know. They don't know God. They don't know Jesus. They don't know God or his Son. Neither one. It's what the song says. He reached down and saved me. I was sinking deep in sin, and I knew not God nor his Son, neither one. And that's why the world hates us, because they don't either. They don't know him. If I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. The perfect example. It's mostly ignorance is why the world hates us, and it starts with religious leaders. 23:24. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. I told you they're the same. You already knew it. But Jesus is God. I'm the one that didn't know it for 21 years. Jesus is God. You hate one, you hate the other. They're the same. They're the same. They're the same. 24. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Chapter 7, John 7, 46. The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." That's because he was God. Nobody else like him. There ain't nobody like him. There ain't nobody like him. Psalm 35:19. Now the world does not hate their idea of God. They got their own imagination of what their God ought to be like. But that's not the Bible, the God of the Bible. And matter of fact, you can talk about God, but they really don't like it if you start talking about Jesus and that Jesus is God. And that wouldn't be why I would do it. But it's just a fact. 35:19, Psalm 35:19. Let not them that are my enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. Brother Rick just needs to make sure he doesn't give them a cause. 69:4. If it's because of the Lord, it'll be all right. 69:4. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Y'all ain't right. They that would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. Oh, they said I owed something and I knew I didn't, but I paid it anyway. It looks to me like what the psalmist said. I think that's what he said. See, they have a false imagination. And I got to watch my imagination.
Yes.
It might be false. It might be false too. This here is all I can trust.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
25, that animosity. We're in John 15:25. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. They hated me without a cause. It was a hate crime. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. There wasn't any to find. It was their law. It was a hate crime. The words and works of Christ condemn animosity. 26 and 27. But when the Comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. All true ministers point to Christ.
Right.
Point to Christ. John 16, right here, 13 and 14. Howbeit, when He, the capital S, Spirit of Truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. Even the Holy Spirit, even the Holy Ghost does not talk about Himself. He points to Jesus. Now, that's not saying you couldn't have a series maybe on Wednesday night about the Spirit of God.
Right.
You could do that. The preacher might do that sometime. But ordinarily, if you've been around these places where it's Spirit, 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 always Spirit, that's not Bible. That's not the Lord. The Holy Spirit of God always points to Jesus. He doesn't point to Himself. Let me just read it again. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall speak, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Red letters, the Lord Jesus talking, and He says, He shall glorify me. The Lord is the go-between between us and God. You go through Jesus to the Father by the Spirit. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That's a good quitting place. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for writing it down. In Jesus' name, amen.